him. When they broke through to pull us free, the only ones left to tell the tale was Joe and me.
Grasa, joven. Shine him up, mister. lindo es el boogie, manito. Caballero, cuando pase por toda la calle, me venga a ver este chainero que lo chaineará muy bien. Yo no le hago cosquillitas en la planta del pie, suavecito grasa le doy. Y zapateando el boogie estoy, soy chainero de la mer. Cuando a la garra le sueno para dar brillo mejor, yo también voy zapateando el boogie, boogie, sí señor. Cuando yo miro a las chavas más macizo le doy. Y a bailar tú aprenderás, y a shinear te volverás, al shinero de la mer. Cuando doy shine, bailando estoy, y tú te enseñarás. Tú volverás a zapatear con el jabari, jibiri, jibiri, jabari, jibiri, jabari, jai. Cuando este chainero joven ya termina de jalar, sus zapatos mugrosos listos le van a quedar. Y las chavas que me miran también se quieren bolear, y hasta se quieren pelear. Quieren conmigo bailar, yo doy shine a quien lo me.
Welcome to the Wiggle Room here on the Sheena's Jungle Room stream at WFMU.org. My name is John Nelson, and I'm going to apologize right now for my scratchy voice. I don't know what's going on. Allergies, maybe? So, I found these old tapes, and they are a 12-year-old Dallas, Texas transplant living in suburbs of Minneapolis. 12-year-old me, in fact. I'd been keeping a journal since I was 8 in 1983. I was almost 9. And somehow got the idea to record daily journal entries. I must have gotten that idea from somebody. I can't imagine being creative enough to think of that one. Or maybe I was, you know, because we did have Dad's tape deck, little portable recording device, which we were always playing with. So maybe it's just, you know, eventually two and two got together and here we are. One thing that stood out to me as I listened was, I don't know, I became aware of this with my own kid. I took a lot of joy in studying his tones and his vocabulary and the expressions that he picked up. And as best as I could, up to a certain point, I would say it was when he was around 9 or 10, I could get to the bottom of where that particular phrase originated, which was lovely for me. I'm sure everyone else thought it was weird, but, you know, he'd be repeating things that he heard Mom say, or he'd be repeating things he heard me say, or Donald Duck. And when I listen to this old recording, I can hear very clearly the people I am taking my influences from. My old friend Scott, who I talk about at length, was clearly, I mean, if you listen, you can tell, I clearly really looked up to the boy. He was a friend, but he was also a little older. And then, so I hear his attitudes sometimes. He had a very laid back, I don't know. He was very relaxed and cool, and I wanted to be like him. And then there was another friend that I knew in the 7th grade. His name was Tim. And sometimes I can hear some of the cutesy kind of things that he would do coming out of my mouth. And then, of course, my mother. I heard my mom and my dad. It's just fun to hear 12-year-old me practicing his confident voice. Because I remember the 7th grade, and it didn't sound nearly like this. And not this together. There were frequent references to today being a good day when compared to earlier this week. And I guess that's the only remaining evidence of the fact that, you know, I was 12 and not prepared at all for junior high. By the way, a Coke is not a Coke if it's a Pepsi or some other carbonated beverage. But we called everything Coke in Dallas. And I was a recent, as I said, transplant to Plymouth, Minnesota, which is a suburb outside of Minneapolis. And I still called everything a Coke. Going to Grandma's for a Coke. That was a glass of cold milk with Hershey's syrup. And in Texas, a lot of folks drink Dr. Pepper after ordering a Coke. And after the server asked what kind of Coke they wanted, and after they said Dr. Pepper. The last thing to say here before we get started, we're going to plow through about 4 or 5 journal entries, quote unquote, as recorded on tape by 7th grade me. The music that I've chosen, it's all from 1987, which is when I was recording. It's not completely honest of me to play it because I did not know those songs when I was 12. But within just a few years, I really was, and these were some of my favorite songs. It was a lot of great music in 87. I was surprised. I've always been aware of the fact that 1987 was a special year in rap and hip-hop and breakbeat records. I just know that when I'm researching that area, anything up to 87 is pretty good. And then anything after 88 is, okay. Going in a different direction. Okay, all right. So anyway, here's John Nelson, 1987, 12 years old, practicing his confident voice, keeping a journal on tape. Thanks for listening to me here in the Wiggle Room on the Sheena's Jungle Room stream at WFMU.org.
This is me, Jonathan Nelson. Okay, now it's February 1, 1987. Now, I'm keeping a journal. I have about 3 journals right now. I'm almost on my 4th one. And so now I'm going to start leaving stuff on tape. So it's going to be like, just like, what do you call those things? Well, you know, some people, you know, died and then people found these tapes long, long ago after that. And it had all this stuff on it. So now I'm going to leave my diary on tape because I think that's a good idea. I think it's going to be just like what Kirk does on Star Trek. You know what that is, like Captain's Log, stardate 1987. The Federation stands on the brink of war with the Romulan Empire. I always thought I'd need to write a journal on tape so that I could listen to it someday when I got real old. So now I'm going to start it. Well, here goes. Yesterday, which was Saturday, January the 31st, I recorded the first part of this tape. I was sitting in the car while my dad and Joseph were in the library looking up stuff so that Joseph could buy his camera. Then we went to Comic Corner. This is this new comic store. I don't know where it is, but it's really cool. And I bought 25 these little bags with cardboard in them where you keep your comic books really good. Condition it. And I also bought like 7 Disney comic books and 1 Star Trek comic book. That's where I got that bit about the Romulan War and stuff like that. See, Mom was at Women's Retreat from church yesterday, so she is gone. As I said, today is February the 1st. It's a Sunday. We went to church today. I've been feeling pretty sick lately. I had a rash on my back and my stomach and my hand and my everything. And I had to go to the doctor. And it's because I've been taking the wrong kind of pills. See, my ears have been hurting, so the doctor gave me pills, and turns out I'm allergic to them, so it's rash. We picked her up today, though. And then we went to my brother's orchestra thing. Yes, he's in the Minnesota Youth Symphony. He's pretty good. And then we went to Burger King for lunch. And that was really fun. Then we came home and we watched this movie called You Ruined My Life. It's a Disney movie and it's really fun. It sounds bad by the title of it, but it's really not. I really liked it. And tomorrow I'm starting school. I don't know if I want to, though. I don't like school that much. See, I've been taking band again tomorrow. I just started that. Well, I guess that'll be all for this for February 1. Bye. Anyway.
Been thinking about you, I just couldn't wait to see
February 2, June Lesson Day. I'm doing pretty good in band. I started band last week. Sometime. And I'm doing pretty good in that. Today, I had my drum lesson. Told me I need to work on my roll. While I was waiting for my drum lesson, I went to the library and looked up some stuff about ice cream and candy. And did you know that over 1/10 of the nation's milk goes into making ice cream? And that there are 2,000 different kinds of candies? And did you know that there's some number of billion gallons of ice cream made each year? What was that eat? I'm not sure. Anyway, it was really interesting, and I made a report out of it. No, for no reason. I didn't do anything. I just wrote it for sport. It was pretty fun doing it. We had hamburgers and chocolate shakes for supper. It was very good. Mom's best cook in the world. And then, my dad went to an evangelism. We needed him there this time. He usually doesn't go to evangelism. He went to and Mom took just a while and listened. I organized all my comic books. When she got home, I did my piano. And Joseph read comic books from the television. And then, for some reason, all of a sudden, Mom just blew it up. She said, "Okay, no more comic book reading until the weekend. We're not reading comic books except on the weekends. I don't even know why. Now I came upstairs to do my confirmation and write and save my journal. So, this is the end of February 2. Bye. February 3, 1997. Today is okay, I guess, at school. I didn't enjoy it very much. Got home and found out I only have $4.50 out of my allowance. Just $4 left of it. Because $2 of it went to the bank. And $1.50 of it was taken away because of a whole bunch of stuff I didn't do about this week. I think that's stupid. That's just like my parents stealing money from me. Mom left for recording. And me and Joseph, I was just laying around. I read a comic book even though I'm not supposed to be reading comic books until after our homework is done. Me and Joseph checked it down that we did our piano and his violin, even though we're different. We do that sometimes, but we are going to do our drum instead. Mom got me Star Trek Log 1 and Star Trek Log 3, check them out at the library. Really interesting. Today was pretty good, I guess. Dad's gonna get home and I'm gonna fix spaghetti. Mom already made that, I have to warm it up. And so she's gonna be recording until about 10 tonight. So really, today's been pretty good. I guess it'll be off for February 3. Bye. I'm gonna watch it grow.
February 5. I forgot to record yesterday because I went to confirmation. I go to confirmation every Wednesday. I went to Burger King with Dad after confirmation yesterday because I got all the beans last week. My dad has a system that if I get all beans for a whole week, he takes me to get a Coke on the weekend. Well, I couldn't do it this weekend, so it took me yesterday. Today's been pretty bad, I guess. I love Dave's. Really been better since last week. And what can I say? Today's just been really fun. So that's all for February 5. Bye.
Great news. I'm sitting here telling Joseph Hobhoff I don't think Julie's my girlfriend anymore. The phone rings. Joseph answers it and gives it to me. It's Julie. No, I'm not kidding. Do you want to know if we're still going? I said, I don't know. And she said, well, I haven't even documented it because I'm kind of shy. And so, she said, I want to call. And so I said, okay. Now we're going. We'll talk to her on Sunday. This is great. I am in love.
Today is, in fact, Friday the 6th, and next week will be Friday the 13th.
Oh no!
So today was good. February the 6th. Bye.
February 7th, 1987. Today I woke up at 9 o'clock and watched Pee Wee Herman. Then me and Dad. Then I did my piano in confirmation, and me and Dad went to Burger King where we met Mom and Joseph. We had lunch. Then we went home. After we went to Holiday, where Joseph got this waxy junk, put in his hair so he could have a flat top, and I bought a comic book. Then we went home, and then at about 5 o'clock, or 4:30, we went to roller skating Christian night. Julie was there. So what I did, I didn't even go out in the rink until the Raleighs got there at about 5:15. So I'm sitting there for about 45 minutes waiting for Scott. Then when he got there, I skated out there, and I finally got enough courage, and I said, I'll be right back, Scott. And I just started going real fast and zoomed by Julie, and at the same time said hi. So I said hi. It was really fun. Me and Scott hit the ball. I didn't spend a penny. I usually spend about $5 on machines and food and games. But it was really fun. Then we came home and had breakfast for supper. 2 eggs, sausage, bacon, and biscuits. So today was really great. Tomorrow, Sunday, we're going to church. So that's all for February 7th.
Yo, so-
That's enough of that. Okay. I really didn't want to play that one. It just feels like it feels more honest, because if I was listening to those three songs 4 years from when I made this tape, then it would be just as honest to play the records that I was listening to 4 years prior, as opposed to the ones we're listening to, which I got into 4 years later. But my, yeah, I can't play that whole thing. You know, but it just occurred to me that if there was any reason for me to have saved those records all this time, they would give us those in Sunday school, in first grade, kindergarten. And for some reason, I've still got them in with my 7 inches. And if there was any reason for me to have saved them all this time, it would have been to play them on a show like this. And so I played as much as I could tolerate. The artist we heard from, let's see, there was The Cure, Why Can't I Be You? That seemed pretty perfect, considering the early junior high nature of these journal recordings. The Cure, 1987. Peter Gabriel, Big Time, also 1987. And then the first one was Erasure, and the song was called Sometimes. And that's still a favorite nowadays. I love that. A friend of mine in high school introduced me to Depeche Mode. Scott introduced me to The Cure. And the rest just kind of fell into place after that. I let's get back into it. I don't remember what's coming next. Junior high at a very conservative religious Christian school in North Minneapolis.
February 8, 1987. Today we went to church, then came home and had a nice dinner with my mom. Dad took us to Burger King, and me and Joseph worked on our Legos for much of the day, too. At the end of the day, we watched Support Your Local Sheriff, which is a movie I recorded during the day. That's all February 8. February 9 was pretty cool. I actually felt like I was popular for once. It seemed like kids actually wanted to talk to me. Andy wanted to play my drums. Dan wanted to talk to me. Tony walked with me. It was really fun. It was a drum lesson yesterday too. See, actually today is February 10th, and I'm telling what happened on the 9th. Yesterday I went to drum lesson. Didn't bring 30 cents, so I didn't get to have my coat. So now I'm going to start talking about February 2, which is pretty good, I guess. February 11, 1987. I realize with regret that I'm not enclosing enough information in my tape recordings. I will know and do so. So I went to confirmation, and I totally freaked out. I was walking out of class, and Julie walked by, and she gave me his Valentine. Totally humongous. Red and white jumpy frills in the middle, it says, "Be my Valentine." And so, I decided to write a note back to her. Now I'm going to go get it on my journal and then read it under the tape. Well, I'll be right back. Back. This is what it says. Dear Julie, thanks for the Valentine. It brightened up my whole day. Sorry I didn't have one to give you, but I don't have much time to do many fun things, counting for my homework. But I won't pour you a smile on my miseries. Well, all I can say is yes, I will be your Valentine. In 7th grade at West Baptist, everybody's really into courting, dating. Usually the farthest it goes is writing notes and holding hands. So I'm writing you a note. Then in parentheses I wrote, maybe we can do the other part sometime. A lot of the kids in my class are interested in Star Trek. I kind of enjoy it too. I haven't seen the 4th movie, but I'm planning to soon. When you saw me Wednesday, did you notice that my hair was straight? I hope not. I just got a cut. Well, that's all for now. I'm working. I hope you like it. months off for 11 or 10 so.
I'm a heartbreak beat, yeah, all night long. And nobody don't dance on the edge of the dark. We've got the radio on, and it feels like love, but it don't mean a lot. And it feels like love, and it's all the way.
Heartbreak Beat by the Psychedelic Furs here in the Wiggle Room on the Sheena's Jungle Room stream at WFMU.org. My name is John, and you have been indulging me this week. I'm doing a special, I was thinking, like, what should I call these? Like, TMI, experimental story time, I think I called the first one. I think I, like, no one asked. Looks good on paper anyway. It doesn't sound too good out loud. No one asked. Nobody asked. Nobody asked. No one asked. Welcome to this edition of No One Asked. So the questionnaire is, who was the girl? Who is this little girl? This young woman? Let's see. If I was 12 and she would have been maybe 11, I say her name on the tape. I also say the name of the school I was going to, which is, I don't know, for some reason I wanted to keep that private. I remember telling someone that I would prefer not to mention the name of the school. Little melodramatic, maybe. I don't think it's really about the girl. And in the interest of her privacy, maybe I'll just not say much more than that. She was a girl from my church, one of the first girls, maybe the first girl, to look back amorously when I looked amorously in her direction. Just your standard, not even puppy love, I don't think, but like an early example of kids pretending to be in grown-up relationships. I would say that's what it was. It was very sweet, and ironically, that note that I just finished hearing 12-year-old me read for the journal tape, I think that note was what sent everything crashing down. Because according to her, her mom and dad did not want her dating or even talking to boys. And looking back, I have to wonder if that wasn't just a way of keeping control over the situation herself. If she was feeling uncomfortable, she could say, oh, I have to go. My parents will find out. And the reason I say that is because I think I did similar things when I was a little older. I remember a friend of mine from school and I hanging out in the Crystal Robbinsdale area and a bunch of girls trying to talk to the both of us, and he was all over it. Hey, you know, and I was very young, and I think the excuse I made to him afterwards for why I wasn't saying anything was, well, my parents would kill me. And I just wonder if that wasn't what was going on with her. But it's just as likely that they really didn't want her to. And they're the ones I feel sorry for, because, well, I said I wasn't going to say a lot, so let's just wrap it up. There's evidence that they were quite concerned, which maybe they should have been at that age. I don't know. I know I was just a little boy, but that note, interpreted one way, indicates that I would like to hold her hand. But if you were an overly concerned parent and reading that note, you might wonder if there was more in mind, which there wasn't at all, I can tell you. A very, very innocent kid there. That said, this next entry is pretty interesting because it shows a little bit of a conniving side. And I can tell you where I got these ideas too. With all due respect, my mother, that's right. She was giving me advice on how to woo, girls my age, and, looking back, not all of it was very good. So here's more from my journals from when I was 12 in 1987 on the Wiggle Room, WFMU.org.
February 13, 1987. The reason I sounded so really quiet and cool and suave and swanky all the time was because I was whispering like that to my dad when he was not. February 13, 1997. Today was pretty good. I just got home from school, and it was really pretty great, actually. I had a great day at school. And, see, at the beginning of the day, this is the girl, Jeanette. And I think I'll tell this story to Julie just to get her jealous. Anyway, this is girl Jeanette at school. And during the day, she was giving Valentine's to every one of the people she knew. Every person. And then Brad, and then I said, Brad, I want you to yell Jeanette's name really loud. And he goes, fine, okay. And he goes, Jeanette! And she looks up, and then I go, where's mine? And she goes, who are you? It was so embarrassing. Anyway, later on, during lunch, she walks right up to the boys' table. It's just boys, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. And she goes, okay, now what's your name? And I go, John. And she goes, okay, what's your last name? Nelson. I say, okay, John Nelson. Okay, and then she gives me a Hershey kiss. She gives me a kiss! Wow! Man, if that won't get Julie jealous, nothing will. Anyway, at the end of the day, when Mrs. Raleigh picked us up, we were almost halfway home, and all of a sudden Angie remembered that she forgot her purse at school. So we turned all the way back, and she ran and got her purse. Then about a minute later, Joseph all of a sudden remembers that he left his brush at school. So he gets out and runs out, and then Scott says, you thirsty? And I go, yeah. So we both run in and get 3 Cokes. And he bought 2 of them for him and Joseph, and then he went outside, and then I went all the way to the office and got change for a dollar, went down and got my pop, Pepsi for 30 cents, and ran out, and by that time, they were all there waiting for me, and they were all saying, boy, John, it's your fault, we're late, and it was so funny. Anyway, it was hard to get the tops off because we forgot that we didn't have a bottle topper, but we finally got it off, and then we drank it on the way home. Today was Valentine's Day. Well, actually, it wasn't. It was Valentine's Day parties. Tomorrow's Valentine's Day. Joseph had a party because it was the last day of school and they wouldn't have school on Valentine's Day. Man, on the way out to Bible class, it smelled like popcorn all over the place. And teachers were cooking at parties, I guess. Well, the only thing bad about today is I just realized that I left my drum at school. And when I told Mom, she said I could never bring it to school again. So now, for band, I can't use my own drum. I'll have to use the drums. I'll have to use the school's drums, which are really pitifully bad. These things are falling apart, man. You play it and it sounds like a bass drum, not a snare drum. They're trashy. You know, crap. And so that's the only thing wrong today. I'm going to... Well, tomorrow when we're out shopping, I'm going to try to buy a chocolate heart for Julie. And give it to her on Sunday, because of the Valentine she did. Well, that's off February 13, 1997. Another thing that I forgot to tell you, tell the tape, you see, call it telling you. Okay, P.S. Today was Friday the 13th, and a full moon. Oh no. And we had two tests today, and we're all sitting there, oh no, Friday the 13th and a full moon, we're all gonna flunk, and we're so scared. You know, it's just a joke, we weren't really scared. But man, I passed those freeze. Man, history test was easy. I studied really good for that. And then we had a Bible test too. Mr. Williams is so nice. I mean, we had a two-page test on pink paper with little Valentines, little hearts all the way around the paper. So it looked like doilies with the questions on it. It really brightened up the day. It was really nice. So, I guess that's all for February 13, 1987. Bye. And tomorrow's Valentine's Day!
Something in the moonlight catches my eye. The shadow of a lover goes dancing by. Looking for a little bit of love to grow. So, give me love, give me heart and soul. You never let me cross to the other side now. I'm tied to the hope that you will somehow. Heart on the heels of something more. But I lost your love, heart and soul. The tear in my heart as you walk over by. You're so low and your head is high. Everything you do can forgive us the more.
Give it
It's a paw. And before that, I don't know, some kid in Minnesota. Tapes labeled 1987. Self-described nerd. If you were listening carefully, he called himself that. Seems a lot happier than I remember. Part of the performance, maybe. Part two on the way, but if you made it this far, would you like to hear what was at the beginning of this tape? Just prior to switching gears and getting all serious. Same kid, different objective. Making funny voices in the car with Dad's tape recorder. It's cringe for sure. That's what my son would say. And a lot of it is embarrassing, I guess. That was literally decades ago, though. And I don't care. And the truth is on that tape. And I'm into that. I'm into this kid, I think. A little weirdo. Truth is, I didn't really care for him much at the time. So tune in next time for the answers to such burning questions as, did the shy 12-year-old Dallas transplant find the courage to give his Minneapolis Valentine a piece of chocolate? You'll just have to be patient. This is the Wiggle Room on the Sheena's Jungle Room stream. We started with True Faith by New Order. Stuck with 1987, and that last one was Heart and Soul by T'Pah. Here's another personal favorite again from 1987. It's Pump Up the Volume by Mars here at WFMU.org. My name is John Nelson. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time.
Having fun at the library. He's wearing a brown coat with a nice warm thing around his neck. He's wearing black. It looks like a snake. Both brown long hair. And a red nose, like Rudolph the Red. Oh. Well, now that I'm done recording on the tape, I better go and record over it. There he goes! He disappeared! Well, mister, that was. Oh. Howdy, folks. Not that there nonsense was recorded on. Yeah, on the 31st of January. Yes, there it was. Yes, it was. Yes. I bet you'd know that it was recorded in. Oh, yeah, on 1986. No, it was 1987. It was 1987. Yes, it was. Yes, it were. And it was by, let me see. Oh, yeah. Jonathan Nelson.
Yo, all you homebrides out in Bronx, this one's for you.
Pump up the volume, pump up the volume, pump up the volume.
Get down.
the record when the drum beats go like this. Pump up the volume, dance.
Meanwhile,
you stir my natural emotions. You make me feel under the hurt and I'm hurt. And if I start a commotion, I run the risk of losing you, and that's worse.
Grumpy Punk Presents
Mid Valley.
That's stupid punk rock. I don't, you know.
Once Upon a Time.
I just think of it as rock and roll because that's what it is.
Mutations.
Punk on Dating.
And welcome. Oh, there we go. Hey, welcome. Good hello. It's Mid Valley Mutations. And we are hopefully going to make some people dance. If I have anything to say about it. Yeah, it's the Grumpy Punk again. I had this hankering for all the things that I get angry that people have forgotten. And so that is the origin of the Grumpy Punk. He's just so angry that people forget everything, apparently. Himself included. So, yeah, here we are, playing some music for you. Once again, using this Once Upon a Time series of compilations and whatnot as a jumping-off point for a way of filtering this 100-disc set of music In a useful way, so that we can kind of do a little something with it that was interesting. And I myself have often struggled with the notion of dating. And I think, at least according to many songs that I have listened to, others have as well. It is just one of those things, I think, that is not easy. Is not something that goes well. Is something that we all sort of struggle with in different ways, and then usually, I usually hear some sort of a variant of the phrase of, "Oh man, I'm so glad I'm not dating anymore." depending on a number of life circumstances, I'm sure that things are different for others. Some people probably are good at it and enjoy a good date. These days, I enjoy a good date with the person I am married to, and many different things qualify as dates, including going for a walk, which is a lovely way to spend some time. So hopefully, these songs will inspire you to think about the ways that you have spent time with others, or have not spent time with others, as the case may be, because some of these songs go in that direction too. It's a lot of different punk songs. Trying to tackle this complicated subject of pairing off, and so I've done a little bit of the same thing that I have before, trying to give you a little bit of information about where and when these songs are from, when that information has been supplied. But sometimes this information is only as good as the French blogger who assembled this series of compilations. So I shrug occasionally and go, whoops. But I do my best, as it were. We got a pretty good assemblage of folks hanging out in the chat right now, including Imaginos and the Ramen City Kid himself. Chris, oh, hey, how's it going? Thank you. Dancing the Night Away herself. It's a good response to the Buzzcocks, I have to say. I got to see them a couple of times. In my day, and man, they were so much fun. A lot of dancing at that show. H, hey, speakers on, mutation begins. Thank you, H. Let's see. Oh, Post Consumer just dropped in. Post Consumer, thank you so much for setting things up with that last hour. Did a fantastic wiggle room, as they often do. I feel like it's a good place for those who are looking for a good Tuesday afternoon. Come by the Wiggle Room, hang out in the Lava Lamp Lounge afterwards. It's a good time. Well, let's get into it today, because I think we are all erotic neurotics when it comes to this kind of stuff. And what can I say? It's Mid-Valley Mutations here on Sheena's Jungle Room. One of those WFMU products you've heard so much about. Enjoy.
The Grumpy Punk Precincts.
Mid-Valley.
That stupid punk rock.
Once upon a time.
I just think of it as rock and roll, because that's what it is.
Mutations.
Punk on dating.
In the city dark, she walks alone.